Good morning, everyone. Sorry if I didn't shake your hand or, you know, gave you a hug this morning. I just want to make sure this stays contained. I'm really glad to see you guys here. My name's Rudy. I've been the ministry apprentice here for, this is my second year now. I've been part of youth ministry here for a long time, and I'm very excited to be here. I'm very excited to be a part of what's happening here, because this is an amazing place, and not just this church, but Leduc, Alberta, and I'm just so honored to be a part of this. And I just want to talk a little bit today about a few things. But first of all, it's a new year. Dennis was right. This is the first Sunday of a new year. It's very exciting, right? I mean, we start off a new year. There's a blank slate. We get excited. But it's a weird feeling. Dustin talked last week about taking stock, looking back of what God has done last year and just being able to see the beauty in all the misery and all the struggles that we've gone through, and seeing those parts where God really blessed us last year. And so we get to the end of the year, we get to today, we're looking at the new year, and we say, well, let's start again, I guess. Let's do it again, one more time. And I think that's such a cool thing, because, you know, when I was thinking about what Dustin was saying last week, one thing that really struck me for the last year was just how many people talked about how exhausted, how tired, how busy, how swamped they were. And it was just like everyone I was talking to was just tired. And I was like, wow, that must be just something that, you know, is skewed for me, because I deal with a lot of students. I am a student myself, you know, with youth and young adults. Most of them are students. And so, you know, I kind of expected, well, it's a student thing, right? You know, everyone is tired all the time because you always have homework and then you do other things and you just try to fit life into 24 hours and you just run out of time. And, well, it's like, well, you know, And it engaged me, because I'm a curious person, so I wanted to look at a little more into it. And what I found was a little scary, not going to lie. 2014, this is 2014, so I can't imagine it got better since then. 2014, Stats Canada says that 73% of people have some sort of stress in their life. 23% of Canadians experience extreme stress or anxiety. And that scares me. Not gonna lie, that scares me a little bit, because 7 out of 10 of the people around us, or us included, are dealing with stress in their life, dealing with anxiety, dealing with depression. And that's kind of a bit of a encompassing stat that Canada did. But the thing that scared me a little more was that I was seeing it in my own life. And not just the stress, but how I was dealing with it. Because for me, and when I was looking at it a little closer, and this was kind of true for the people around me too, was stress was seen as a bit of a good thing. You know, if you're swamped, if you're tired, if you're exhausted, nobody can tell you that you're lazy or that you're not fulfilling your purpose, you know, because you're busy, you're doing things. So it's like, all right, you know, maybe I'm on the right track. And it's become this status symbol that we talked about last year. It is last year, actually. In our Bible study at Young Adults, we were talking about the Sabbath, and we talked about how stress has become this thing, this status symbol, that is just keeping us in this circle, of stress that just keeps going around and just keeps getting worse. What really, really stood out to me throughout this entire thing was that, as I was looking in this, was just how intentional we have to be about rest, about peace, because it doesn't come by accident. That is the one thing I learned about this, and hopefully you guys can take that away from today as well. Peace doesn't come by accident. And so, you know, we just went through Christmas, we just went through New Year's, and everyone was got a couple days off, hopefully, and everyone was hoping for some rest, I assume. And I just can't imagine that not all of us got it. There's always hope for next year. But I just can't imagine that a lot of us are going through through daily life, dealing with stress on a daily basis, dealing with, you know, getting kids on at home on time, getting them to school on time, getting extracurriculars as a single person or as someone who doesn't have a family yet or doesn't, and you just have these things that you're packing your schedule full with. And it's just, you're running out of time every day, and it's exhausting. And so with all of that, I thought, you know what? A good place to start to finding a solution would be probably the Bible, right? Because, I mean, that's really where we should be starting at all times. And so I decided to go to the Bible, and I came to Hebrews 4. And I know we all remember Hebrews 4 because we just talked about that in fall. Of last year, so I assume all of us remember, but we're gonna look at it anyway. And the nice thing about Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, he's very accommodating because he doesn't just give an overview about finding rest, finding peace, and the problem with that, but he also gives us a solution, which is very nice. So I don't have to say anything; I just let this speak. It's not about me, which is nice. But basically what's happening in chapter 3, we're going to talk about chapter 4, but chapter 3, the author talks about the Israelites. He talks about how throughout their entire 40 years of wandering through the desert from Egypt to Canaan, to their promised land, to the land of milk and honey, they were wandering for 40 years, and they couldn't find the rest that God had prepared for them. And so he's walking us through the failures of the Israelites in the desert. And I think that's a pretty harsh way, but I think it's also a very realistic way of getting us to the point of talking about rest. Israel tried so hard to get to the promised land, out of their own volition. They tried so hard out of their own strength, and they kept failing. It wasn't Moses' fault. It wasn't, God's fault. It was the individual and the entire group of the Israelites who were deciding to do their own thing, trying to go their own way. And so we're going to start in chapter 4, verse 1. We're not going to read the whole thing. And now chapter 4 starts with the word therefore. And we all know that when you see a therefore, you have to ask what it's there for. And we just talked about chapter 3. We talked about why the author is bringing us to this place. The Israelites had failed, and now he's bringing us to chapter 4. And we're going to read from chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. Therefore, since the promise of entering the rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we have also had the gospel preached to us, just like they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we, who have believed, enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declare my oath and my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. God gives us the same option that he gave the Israelites. He calls us to his rest. He says, just like in Matthew 11, he says, come to me all who are weary. I will give you rest. I want to give you that peace. He made us that offer, and we just sometimes we just ignore that. And, you know, for me, I struggle a lot with this because for me, I spend a lot of time in the Bible, and that's not a brag. I go to school for this. Like, I'm supposed to be in it. I spend a ton of time in the Bible. I read my Bible a lot. I, you know, have spiritual conversations, and I frustrated with myself because a lot of it has nothing to do with my quiet time. It has nothing to do with spending time with God. It's about getting my papers done. It's getting my homework done. And instead of finding that rest, finding that time to spend an afternoon with God, I'm just focused on other things. I'm reminded of the story of Mary and Martha, of Mary just, you know, the story goes, Jesus comes to their house, and Martha is very excited, and she gets everything ready, and she's very excited to do things. And Mary just goes and sits by Jesus, and Martha gets angry because she's like, well, I'm doing all these things. Why is Martha not helping me instead of just sitting there? And Jesus says, hey, let her be. Allow her to rest. Allow her to spend time with me. And just like Israel in chapter 3 and Martha, it just seems like I'm trying to do this in my own strength. I'm trying to work this out by myself. And Jesus is just standing there saying, let me help. Let me be your rest. Let me allow me to step into that and give you rest, give you peace, instead of just trying to juggle all of this stuff by yourself. You know, I take days off, sure. I take vacations, and really all vacations are just other I just do other stuff. I just don't, you know, I don't rest. I just do other stuff. I just do stuff that sometimes I like, sometimes I don't. Sorry. But it's just one of those things where, you know, you have a vacation and then you pack it full of other things. And it's like, well, now I need a vacation from my vacation. And it's like, well, that wasn't really the point, was it? And so we're in this cycle and this mindset that stress is just part of life. You know, just because you don't go to your job on a Sunday doesn't mean you're not working. Doesn't mean you're not doesn't mean that you're resting that day. And so that's what the writer is pointing out here. You know, he's reminding us that God has given us this option. He's given us this opportunity to find rest in Him, and we keep messing it up. You know, Israel messed it up to the point where God actually denied them to go into the promised land. It was the next generation of Israelites who actually were able to move into the promised land, because the first generation was just constantly messing up, constantly trying to do things in their own way. We are just so stuck in this place. We're just so stuck in this world of our own strength, of our own desire, that we just keep piling on. We keep saying yes to things that maybe we shouldn't do, and we just end up buried under this mountain of stress, and all we're doing is we're making it a status symbol. We're saying, look at how awesome I am. Look at how busy I am. And it's just keep breaking us. It's hurting us. Now, luckily, again, the writer actually has a solution to this problem, which is very exciting. Because in verse 9, we're going to go from verse 9 to 16, he doesn't just point out the problem, he points us to the solution. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered, laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have such a high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who is tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So the writer does three things here, and I kind of want to point them out. Firstly, he starts off with a plea. He asks us to find that rest. He asks us to step into that rest. Don't be like the Israelites. Be more. Be better. Step into that rest. But then secondly, he kind of takes that turn, and he talks about the word of God. He talks about how it's sharper than its double-edged sword. And it's a little confusing until you come to the third part, because the second part is really there. He's kind of like doing this setup. He's setting himself up for this grand slam. Because the first, he talks about entering God's rest. And because of how the Word of God sees everything and knows everything, God knows everything. He knows that we fail. He knows that we can't do this by ourselves. So we go from wanting to enter God's rest to saying we can't do it by ourselves. And then he's like, all right, now I'm perfect. I've set myself up. Here's the solution. And he goes, Jesus is the answer. I'm done. No, Sunday school stuff, guys. This is so simple, and I still mess this up all the time. This is Sunday school stuff. Jesus is the answer. And we have a high priest who understands what we're going through. He doesn't just sympathize, but empathizes, because he understands. He's been through the same things that we're going through. And I think, when we were talking about the 4th of Advent, we were talking about the candle of rest, the candle of peace, which rest is included in that, surprisingly enough. The candle of peace, the candle of shalom, and we've talked about shalom a lot in this church. We talked about the all-encompassing peace of this holistic peace, not just an overlying, a shallow peace that, gives us 2 minutes to breathe, but a real deep inner peace that allows us to take life as it is and not be scared, not be anxious about the new year. I just want to point out there are a few verses in the Bible, I think, that really help us and summarize some amazing, incredible thoughts. And I know this is one of Dustin's favorites, and it actually has become one of my favorites too in the last little while. That's verse 16. And I want to read it one more time because it's such a powerful verse. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We can come into the throne room, by the throne of grace, the throne of God, with confidence, because we have a high priest. We have someone who stepped in for us. That's what he's talking about. The author of Hebrews points us back to Jesus and says, this is where you find rest. We have this confidence. We have accepted that we can't do this by ourselves. We want to. We want to find that peace. We want to find that rest. But we can't do it by ourselves. We need Jesus. It's a new year. Some of you already are planning your vacations. You're already planning on what you're going to do throughout the year. Some of you are a lot better than I am at planning, and you have, your big calendars, and you mark off when everything is due for students, or when kids need to be, it's good to be organized. I really appreciate organized people. I wish I was more organized. But sometimes that kind of planning can give us a little bit of anxiety because we see everything that needs to be done this year and we're worried we're going to run out of time. You know, again, last week, Dustin reminded us of looking back, see what God has done in 2018, you know, to thank for the blessings that we got. Today, I want us to look into the future. Not to get anxious or scared, not to freak out, but to find intentional time to enter the rest of God. To find time to come to the throne of God, the throne of grace, and sit there. Sit there with Mary. Sit there with, you know, the second generation of Israelites who are still making mistakes, but they went into God's rest. They went into the promised land. Build a routine of creating space, of intentionally carving out time. That could mean that, you know, you can't go to somewhere where other people are going because you need to find time. That might mean that you might have to plan your errands a little different. That might mean you have to go and find somebody who's wronged you and forgive them because that's stopping you from finding your peace. It doesn't come by accident. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. Let's sit by the feet of Jesus. Let's stop this cycle of stress. Let's stop making it a status symbol. Let's stop taking what's destroying us as people and making it into something that we're proud of. I want to close with two poems. And I know this is a little unconventional, but I love these two poems, and they're very different stories. One of them, I think, is really, really shows who we are today, who I am today. And one of them really shows who we could be. The first poem is by Robert Frost. It's a poem that most of you will probably recognize. The second one is a song that Dennis actually quoted a while ago, and it really hit me. It's Kim McMichen, and it's called Could I? I'm going to start with Robert Frost, and I want us to hear the difference in tone from these two. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He won't see me stopping here to watch this woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near. Between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there's some mistake. The only other sounds a sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep. But I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. And miles to go before I sleep. Could I just sit here a while? Know that there's nothing that I need to say. Safe in the knowledge that you know my ways, love me completely. No need to hide a thing. Could I just stay here a while? Letting you melt away all my fears. I feel you comfort when you're so near. I'll hide myself in this shelter you've made for me. Could I just kneel here a while? Doing what I was created to do. Bowing in reverence, I long to adore you. Willingly giving all that I can surrender. Could I just rest here a while? Letting you whisper my burdens away. In all of my journey, there's no other place where I can find refuge, strength for my weary heart. I want to pray with us today. I want us to find peace this new year. I want us to step into this new year not worrying, not stressing out, not anxious about what this year is going to bring. But resting at the throne of Jesus, the throne of God, with confidence, knowing he knows it. And we can rest in that. Let's pray. Father God, it is so comforting knowing that you know all things. So comforting knowing that you hold all things. You care about all things. And you care about us. You care about me. You care about my pain. You care about my suffering. You care about what struggles I go through, what every one of us goes through. And you want us to find peace. You want us to find rest. You don't want us to start this year exhausted already, tired already, but rather in a place of comfort and peace at your feet, next to Mary, next to the people who were able to find your rest. Father, I pray for us as a church. I pray for us as a congregation, as a city, that we would find a place of rest in a world that is extremely volatile. I pray that you would just allow us to find a place, allow us to carve out that time, be jealous of that time, intentionally taking that time with you. And instead of looking towards the miles that we have to go before we can rest right now. We can find that time right now. Find that peace. Pray these things in your precious name. Amen.